You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Welcome to the Fourth Line Podcast in partnership with Last Word on Sports. This is May the 20th, 2017, and with you today is myself, Carl, and the always wonderful Joel. It's the long weekend. Welcome. We're here.
We are here, which is surprising because, like, I feel like we should be barbecuing and sitting on a porch drinking cold beverages.
You did that yesterday, though.
So. I sure did do that yesterday.
So let the folks know what was on the grill.
No grill, smoker.
Ooh.
Barbecue, smoked barbecue, pulled pork, tacos.
Well, very nice. A little, you're still feeling the feels from our Mexican food talk from the Patreon episode last week.
I was, so... So yeah, so I did that, and as soon as we're done recording, that's probably what I'm gonna go eat right now.
It's like it'll be 9 a.m.
It's gonna be like 10:30. It's like it's like brunch.
I guess so. Yeah, I can get
that or make food. And I'm like, I don't want to. So I'll just
all I've eaten today is a giant cinnamon bun and a handful of cheddar popcorn. So
so I feel like
I'm
judgment.
Not one to judge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
no shame in eating pork tacos in the morning. It's going to be almost afternoon.
Yeah. Well, if the sun's up, you can eat pork tacos. I think that's a solid rule.
Well, what about at night, though?
Okay. Yeah. Nighttime. Never. Let's just continue with talkie. Hockey. Talking hockey.
Talkie is hockey talk.
Words are hard this morning. You know what else is hard this time of the year for hockey players?
Staying healthy. Yeah.
All the injuries coming up this week, none bigger than the potential loss of two centermen for the Nashville Predators.
Did they lose two? I didn't see. As soon as I saw the one, I was like, well, nobody cares about them anymore.
It's over. Yeah. Ryan Johansson still in the hospital recovering from emergency thigh surgery. Don't fully understand what happened that meant he needed this emergency surgery, but he had it. Seems he's doing well, but he is out for the rest of the playoffs. Huge loss. He was the straw that stirred that drink in Nashville this playoffs. After last year with him coming to Nashville and kind of a lackluster performance from him, I was incredibly impressed with how he's played so far this playoff. He became what everyone hoped he would be when Nashville traded for a first line center, quote unquote.
Yeah, that'll be, you never really want to be like, that's the guy that like changes everything in a series. But like, if there is a guy, it's that one, especially the way Rene's played. It's like, at this point, you can basically put whoever in goal for Nashville because
it's back to what we expected him to be. He is, yeah. Pekka Rene.
Which is not good when you lose Johansson.
No.
Who's the other guy?
Mike Fisher.
Oh, yeah. That guy disappeared. Yeah.
Well, he hasn't done anything, and now he's also hurt.
Yeah, so.
Which, I guess, like, if he's not doing anything, gives a chance someone else to jump into that lineup. But what concerns me is now, are they still going to be able to get the captain's wife to bring in all these great anthem singers?
Probably.
I guess he might have more time to schedule anthem singers. He's just going through his Rolodex. People still have those. And calling up all these country stars.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. Maybe they'll get that guy, the other guy, back.
All week after, you know, for those who didn't see, Nashville's regular season... anthem singer, a little upset that he's been replaced with country music star after country music star. Last game, Kelly Clarkson sang, had Keith Urban for game 3. And, I don't know, Donald Miller? I don't know. The point is, no one knows who he is, and he is upset that he's not singing these songs anymore.
Yeah, the funny thing was is that he was like, I saw him tweet about how like, it was in my contract that I get playoff games. And so now I had to go to the media, and I was like, okay, the newspaper and the media is not where you go when you actually have a legitimate, like, legal case.
Right.
So to me, that says you actually don't have a legitimate case.
Yeah, if your first source is a newspaper, maybe just go get a lawyer.
Yeah,
it's like, that easy.
If you have a contract that says you get to sing the playoff games, you literally could just go to a lawyer and they'd be like, "Yeah, we can do this." I'm pretty sure that's how it works. At least that's how it works in Canada. Does it work different in the States? Because I know that there are lots of people above the law in America these days, and I'm wondering if country music stars are a part of that.
Well, and like, quite honestly, I'm pretty sure you give that guy anything, he'd probably just be like, "Yeah, fine, I'll do it," or I won't do it. Rather,
I don't know. It was just comical. So
yeah, anyway.
That's how that series is going, eh? That we're like that. We're ready to talk about the singers more than the actual hockey. Because I don't know. I've watched bits and pieces of those series games. Eh, it's nothing fancy.
It's been the better of the two series.
Yeah, neither series has been good.
And you know, I think with both series now coming down to a best of three, I hope that you're going to see better hockey. You're going to see guys get, you know, a little antsier.
Yeah, I think we're only going to see two games in the Nashville Ducks series.
I think that the Ducks are just going to end her right away.
Yeah, Rene's not playing as like otherworldly right now, and so unless he gets that back, if he doesn't get that back, and you lose Johansson and Fisher, and you just, I don't know, they just don't look like a team that can really. They're not a team that can really dominate without like amazing goaltender play right now. They just don't look like that. They
weren't in the regular season. Coming into it, they snuck in and then rode Rene through the first two rounds, and now he's regular Rene.
Yeah, and just, man, I don't know. And like, I don't watch a lot of Anaheim Duck games, and I've always known like Getzlaf is good, but like, is this like his, like, I feel like this is like a big coming out party for him, even though he's like super old. Like, he's just, I don't know
if it's a coming out party. Because, again, like you said, like, he's won a cup, he's been good, he's older, but certainly, like, a reemergence, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a reemergence party. I don't know. Like, he's just, that guy's looked dominant. I saw someone on, I don't know if it was to the podcast account, I saw someone ask, like, was it us that asked Conn Smythe? I don't know. I saw a conversation.
We were chatting about that in the old writer's room this morning.
Okay, I think it's Getzlaf right now, and I don't think it's really close.
Yeah, like, I think with the goaltenders, because through the first two rounds it was Rene or Fleury, and now it's neither of them. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's probably like I gave my Conn Smythe per team, and I had said Carlson, Crosby, Getzlaf, and Rene, and Rene's not going to win it. I honestly think that it comes down to just which of those teams wins the cup is who's going to end up with that.
Yeah.
It's going to be the best player on each of those teams.
I just don't see. I don't know if anyone can win the cup. Like, it doesn't look like anyone won.
No one deserves it at this point.
Does anyone look like they deserve it? Like, no, I'm sitting there and like, man, this is all like for as much play as Ottawa's getting in Canada for being like this, like the Cinderella story or whatever. It's like, they're not even like the lowest seeded team still in it right now. Nobody's talking about how Nashville just like rolled through the first two rounds as the second wild card and is, and like they're two wins away from the Stanley Cup Finals, and like they literally, as much as I don't think they're gonna win, they still have as good a shot as any team right now because no one really wants it.
Absolutely. And for me, I'm with you. I don't think Nashville, especially like Anaheim was out-depthing them anyways, and now they're down possibly two centermen. It's not going to go well. Do I think Nashville can win one game? Maybe. But honestly, for me, I think when it comes down to a best of three, I think you start having a lot more home ice advantage in those situations. So, you know, you give the slightest of edge in these scenarios, because when it's this close, any little edge helps. You know, I'm going home teams on this one. And it's not a stretch to say, well, Penguins over Sens. I think I said that they were going to win it in four, so I'm already wrong on that one.
I said the same thing.
Oh, the Sens got zero credit. And, you know, we'll get a bit more into that series in a bit here, but that, you know, that series in Anaheim is gonna be, I think, now the less close of the two. So I still give Nashville a chance to, you know, I would say seven. I think Nashville can win one of these games maybe, but would not be surprised if they kind of just rolled over at this point.
Yeah, would you be excited about a 2007 rematch?
Honestly, when everyone's been pumping that, like Ducks, I did not remember that they played in the Cup Finals before.
Yeah, that's five games. That's how that went. Game five, 6-2.
Yeah, not the closest of. There's a surprisingly large amount of Cup Finals that aren't close. Like yeah. You work the whole way up. You know, this third round's going to go at least six games for both. We had multiple game sevens last round. And the Cup Final could be over in five games. Which, yeah. I don't know if you saw, they released the, I believe it was late last night. I saw it this morning. They released the schedule for the Stanley Cup Finals.
I saw.
So May 29th, that gets started. So that is a Monday. Yep. So Monday, May 29th, and it'll wrap up by June 14th.
At the latest.
So we've got June 14th is the last day there could be NHL hockey.
That's 4 days before the expansion draft.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. So
that's, yeah, okay, go ahead.
They've been playing this very grueling Stanley Cup playoff. A lot of these series have gone long, unless you're Nashville, but they're probably not going to make it, so it doesn't matter. They're giving them an extra travel day off in between each game. So that's why it's being pushed back a bit. We're having 2 days off in between games when they switch. So at the end of this series, if it goes seven games, you're going to have a game, 2 days off, a game, 2 days off, a game, 2 days off. So.
You know why they're doing that?
Because they hate entertainment momentum.
Yeah, probably. Also, here's a hot take. That probably makes it more likely that if guys enter the concussion protocol, they can come back for that next game by giving that extra day.
Yeah, mate. Well, certainly hot helps takes. Helps with injuries for sure. The more days off you give, but honestly, I'd much rather them have 2 days, like just 1 day off in between, like they have through this third round. It's been fun. Having a game every single night, I've enjoyed.
Yeah, I don't. So, except for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's some afternoon hockey.
So dumb. I don't get it. Like, seriously, noon. That's what time the game starts on the West Coast. Noon.
Yeah.
I can tell you what I'm not going to be doing tomorrow.
On a beautiful watching long hockey. Weekend.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch Ottawa Penguins noon hockey game. Come on, not a chance. I will not be doing that. I will go eat fish and chips or something like that by water and sun. Like, this is, come on, NHL. This is it. Their scheduling is so bizarre in the playoffs here. Like, they had, remember how we had that like stretch of week where it was like we had the two West Coast games playing on the same night and then the two East Coast games? Like, It's like, what, you didn't think you could alternate those guys? Like, you didn't think that could be, like, it eventually kind of worked itself out somehow because they get, like, they gave weird teams 2 days off instead of, like, but I just, the scheduling for the playoffs has been so bizarre. And absolutely. I don't know. So what do you think? Do you think I'm good at predicting the future?
No.
Okay. Well, then that's fine. Cause I remember, so Fleury goes down or gets pulled. Doesn't go down. It's a little like
he went down in the game early.
He went to, yeah, is maybe emotionally he was
probably
down.
A little bummed. Yeah, for sure.
So he gets pulled. I send you a text. This is the moment. Murray comes in. And they ride Murray to the Stanley Cup. That's my because like
I don't, that's not a big limb to go out off of.
Hey, I'm okay with it. I'm gonna go. Hey, that guy. We had no idea if that guy was even healthy.
Well, I don't think they would have started him as a backup if they weren't comfortable putting him into a game, though, right? So they knew that was a possibility. And honestly, like I think we talked. Well, I said. If we're talking about smart predictions, I said that Marc-Andre Fleury has the shortest of leash. And as soon as he stumbles, once Murray's healthy, it's Murray's job again.
I would like to point out that was a long leash. 4 goals in the first period. It's a long leash, man.
Not one period of bad hockey is a, and then to lose it is a pretty short leash.
That was I don't know. Cause like, did you watch that one period though?
I did.
That was bad. That wasn't like a man. There were some bad bounces. There was some. It was like, no, you probably should have had almost. You probably should have had all of those.
Well, at least one of the goals, his defenseman cleared it into his own net. So I don't put that on him. So that's 3 goals in one period. Yeah. The third goal, that's your fault in a period you get pulled. That's not a long leash.
I don't know. I feel like that's. I think, like. Knowing the history of Marc-Andre Fleury in the playoffs, I feel like that's a long leash. When you have clearly the better goalie, I was surprised that they just didn't go as well as Fleury has played. I would have put Murray in as soon as he was healthy, he is healthy.
I just think running with a hot goaltender is nothing to be sad about. So you do that until this point, and in no way should anyone be surprised that Marc-Andre Fleury is now sitting on the bench. He's shouldn't even be surprised. I'm pretty sure he isn't. He knows how this team won. He knows that he's the odd man out in that situation. He's probably gone at the end of this year. Likely played one last terrible period of hockey for Pittsburgh.
I don't see how he's gone. I just don't see it.
You don't think that if exposed in an expansion draft, they'll take him? Or do you think that Pittsburgh is actually going to pony up and pay Vegas something to not take him? Because it's one of those two scenarios. Either Vegas is taking him because they'd be stupid not to, or
Pittsburgh
is paying him.
I would like to see what goalies are available before knowing whether Fleury's going to be taken or not. I want to see that because I think there's going to be some good goalies available.
So what? You've got both Dallas goalies.
You also have to remember, like, Fleury has to be okay with going to Vegas.
Right.
So they have to convince Fleury to be like, hey, would you like to go from a 2-time cup winning team in the back-to-back seasons and go to Vegas, or would you like to stay here and play on our team knowing that Matt Murray gets injured? Because that guy hasn't stayed healthy his career. He's had a very short career, and I believe he's had a couple of injuries already. So, like, you have to, like, that's the biggest thing, yeah. Because there's going to be, and then there's going to be lots of goalies available.
There is a lot of goalies available. I don't see a way that he's still there. Sure, he has a way of saying no, but even if you offer him up to any number of teams, there's a lot of teams looking for goaltenders this offseason. Because you take him and you say, okay, sure, it's not Pittsburgh winning a cup, but do you want to go start? Do you want to actually have a job? Calgary Flames need a goaltender. Do you want to? That's a team. A lot of young guys made the playoffs this year. And what was their biggest weakness? Goaltending.
Yeah.
You go to him and you say, hey, do you want to go to a team that with a lot of talent that needs goaltending? Here you go. Go get a job. Because I like to think, and I obviously don't know the guy, but I like to think that most professional hockey players and professional athletes in general want to play. If he doesn't want to play, then you don't want him on your team anyways. So that ends that question. You want to play and you want to win. But I personally think that the majority of these guys would much rather have a starting job than sit on the bench and watch someone else win.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not convinced he's going somewhere. I'm not convinced because I just don't know. No one, everyone knows that the Penguins want him gone. I haven't seen it from him that he wants to be gone. I don't know. It'll be interesting, but I think we're both on the same page here. Like Fleury doesn't play again in these playoffs, right? Like,
unless Murray gets hurt again.
Yeah, well,
but no, Marc-Andre Fleury. Even if Murray struggles, it's his job again.
Yeah,
because you can't just keep flip flopping back and forth between goaltenders.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be tough. I'm trying to think as we've been having this conversation, I have been playing with Cap Friendly's protection tool.
Yeah.
It's not pretty for this team.
For Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Like they're going to lose someone that they don't want to lose. Like, and that's the other thing.
Well, is
that
you're going to tell us what's going on here.
Well, like, so first off, they need to sign a defenseman.
They have like what, Chris Letang and Olli Maatta signed next year?
And Ian Cole. And so they have to expose one of Olli Maatta or Ian Cole right now. Those are one of the two that you have to expose. Which, like, you're not super sad about, but I don't think Pittsburgh's defense is really thin as it is. I don't think you want to lose either one of those guys.
Justin Schultz is an RFA and he hits the mark, and same with Dumoulin, right?
Yes. Weird. Okay. I don't know why
they are listed at the bottom for some reason. I don't know Cap Friendly's rank here.
And they don't have the green check marks, so I'm not sure why. I missed that. So they're fine defensemen. They're gonna lose. So that means my guess is you protect what, Schultz over Ian Cole? Yeah.
Yeah. You got what, Schultz? Maatta, Letang.
Yeah, so those are your three. Then your forwards, so Malkin, Crosby, Kessel, Hornqvist, I don't know, like Hagelin, Kunackel.
Yeah.
Those are your five.
Like the bottom part of that team, it is kind of what it is. It's one of those teams that, like, sure, there's guys there that they'll lose, but at the same time, I'm sure that they'll find adequate replacements for those guys.
But the thing is, like, they can't just, like, the ones, like, I don't know who's this Scott Wilson guy. I don't know much about this depth here, but they're going to have to expose one of Russ, Kunackel, Scott Wilson, Hagelin. I think they're actually happy if Hagelin gets taken. He probably won't. That contract's not that great. So, but they're gonna, I don't know. It's just, they're gonna lose some, like they have the potential to lose someone that they don't want to lose on defense or a forward that might be interesting to Vegas over a 33-year-old goalie with 2 years at a $6 million cap hit. like, I don't know. I get that.
If you're Vegas, are you actually telling me that Las Vegas, you think that they would much rather take Ian Cole or Tom Kunackle over Marc-Andre Fleury?
What if, but who are your other goalies available? That's what, but, and this okay, is all.
But you're looking at like, so you've got the Dallas goaltenders. So it's either like Lettinen or Niemi.
Yeah.
James Reimer is going to be available.
Well, yeah.
Well, they have to pick three, right? Vegas does. So you've got them. You've got.
They have to pick three goalies?
They have to pick three goalies.
So.
So then you've got, lots of talk of Grubauer in Washington being the guy it picked. You know, Antti Raanta in New York.
Calvin Pickard.
One of the Colorado goalies, whoever they expose. There's the Islanders goalies with Halak and Greiss. You can pick one of them. Like, none of these guys is making me say, oh, okay, I want the difference between Ian Cole and Marc-Andre Fleury. You go to any of these teams and there's a better guy on those teams than the goalies available.
Korpisalo. That's the goalie they take.
Sure. That's one of the three.
But it all depends. This is the thing. Do you want, Korpisalo has shown that he could probably be a starting goalie in this league.
Yeah, you give him some time, but behind a veteran Marc-Andre Fleury, learn together. Sure. I mean, great pairing right there.
But what veteran goalies are UFAs that they can just sign? I don't know. I don't see it. I just don't see it the way you do. And that's fine. There is a chance Fleury is a Las Vegas Knight. Vegas Knight? I don't know. What's their team?
Golden Knights? The Vegas Golden Knights.
The Vegas Golden Knights. There's a chance. I don't know if it's a lock. Like, as the way that you're talking, am I wrong? You're talking as this is a lock, but.
I think it's like 90%+ that he is not on this team next year, whether it's Vegas or somewhere else.
I don't know. I think it's, I don't know. We'll see. So. Is there anything else we need to talk about this series? Because I don't think we've actually talked. I think all we've talked about is goaltending.
We can talk about the fact that in that list of all the defensemen that won't be on this team with contracts next year for the Penguins, no one's apparently healthy enough to play these games either. That defensive core is falling apart.
Yeah, and it was never. That's never been their strong suit anyways. So, but it's just, it's bad right now. They're lucky they're playing the Senators and not like a team that can score lots of goals, because your team, you want to like take advantage of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You do want to push in on them. And, you know, the Senators were banged up. We saw last game, Senator after Senator go into the room. And coming back very quickly. So either the Senators are just the most cautious team ever and want to make sure everyone's healthy, or they've got a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And this time of the year, everyone has them. Everyone's got those injuries. For me, watching, you know, I didn't watch a lot of Senators hockey, and everyone was, you know, talking, Senators are boring, Senators are boring, Senators are boring. And then they got up 4-0 in that game, and everyone said, look who's boring now. You know what's incredibly boring, Joel? A 4-0 hockey game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Unless you're one of the 7 people that went to the game.
Yeah. Those people loved it. The home fans had a great time at that game.
Yeah.
Watching that game on TV, not entertaining.
Trust me when I say this, because I have been a part of some of these games. When your team gets up big early, and then nothing happens the rest of the game, it's not a fun game to watch. Like, even if that's your team that you're cheering for, like, it's still not, you're like, oh wow, they scored all the goals, we had all our fun. It's like third period, just like crickets. You're just like, oh, this is, yeah, we won. Yay. Yeah. We could have gone home 2 hours ago and had the exact same experience.
Right.
So I just, oh man, but please. Please don't let Ottawa go to the finals.
As long as you don't smack your microphone again.
Oh my goodness, fine. Is that what I did? That's what that noise was.
That is what that noise was, yeah.
There's beard hairs on my microphone.
That's disgusting. How close are you getting to that thing?
I'm not even that close.
Wow, well done. But so with the Sens being boring, whether they're, you know, playing trap hockey and making the team not score, I have definitely gained a great appreciation for the ability of Guy Boucher to implement his system in the way that he wanted to. Because there is not a lot of superstar talent on that Senators team. There's Erik Karlsson, and that's it. Like, there's some good players. Bobby Ryan's had a good playoff.
Don't even get me started about that guy. What a chump.
It's hard to argue. Like, he's had a good playoff. You might not like him.
I don't like Bobby Ryan.
Okay. But you got to admit, not really a lot of guys on that team.
I can't admit anything. I haven't watched it. This is the first Ottawa game I've watched since, like, all playoffs is when they were I can't admit anything because I haven't seen this team play because they're boring.
Right. But the more I watch them, the more impressed I am with Mr. Guy Boucher. The fact that, yeah, he plays boring hockey, but it's winning hockey. And his goal is not to put on a show for the fans. His goal at this point is to win a championship. And he's getting real dang close to playing some terrible hockey. Everyone who hated on the old Devils system back in the day, this is what we got again.
Ugh.
Yeah. Well,
ugh.
You know how I felt about those Devils teams, so. But
Man.
To me, I just have one more comment.
Okay, girl.
Let's just wrap up this series.
Okay.
With in spite of the fact that I'm gonna pump Guy Boucher's tires a little bit, I think we're gonna see a Penguins win. I think it's gonna go 7. It's just that team still has a ton of talent, and when you give them this much time, I think the team that like comes in, and maybe I'm wrong on this. This is just a theory I have, but I always feel like when you come in a 7-game series, especially in a 7-game series, one game, sure, a great coach can take that, but you come in and you out system them to start the series. And a plane flies over Joel's house, buzzes the tower.
What is happening? I even heard that. And I have like those like fancy noise reduction headphones.
Yeah.
So the fact that I can hear that means that plane is loud.
Are you okay right now?
Like, yeah.
Do you need to leave?
No, I don't know what's going on though.
Okay. Well, thank you to that. So you come in and you out-system them. The longer this series goes, the more that you let these skill players figure out that system and find ways to beat it. And so from that perspective, I think the Penguins are going to win.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope we – I don't even know what finals. It's probably like Ducks-Pens probably is going to be the most exciting finals, but
– Well, because then you have – you know, you'll have Getzlaf versus Crosby, and then you get Kessler going up against Malkin. Both a little bit of a temper. One of them a lot of a bit of a temper. But, like, they just, like, I would love 7 games of Ryan Kessler versus Evgeny Malkin. That would be fun. Did you see in, last night's game? That was only last night. Man, it's been a long day. It's 10:30, Joel. that third goal, which ended up being the game winner, just, like, straight went from the point in off Dion's skate.
Yeah.
In the net, and then Malkin turned around and just pointed it out to him. Hey, that went in off you. That one's on you, Dion. Hilarious. Love that guy. Good Malkin. Underrated, hilarious talent.
Yeah, that's great. Also, those are the playoff goals that I dreamed about when Dion was a Leaf.
Just nightmares.
Yeah. Poor guy. No one remembers that somehow the Leafs convinced Ottawa to take that contract. 2 more years, 7 mil. Enjoy that, Ottawa.
Hey, they're still playing. I'm pretty sure they're not sad about having that contract on their team right now.
Yeah, they're still playing. Pure luck.
All right, Joel. So what do you think? You want the Pens to win?
Yeah, I think they'll win.
Okay.
I think they'll pull it out. You're never gonna bet against a team with Crosby and Malkin. Like especially when you're playing a team with Carlson. Is he good? Is he good? We don't know what he knows. He can't score on the power play, so.
Did you just ask if Erik Karlsson was good?
Yeah. I don't know. He might not be. Like, he might just be.
Come on.
You know who he reminds me of? And this isn't good. You're going to be like, yeah, that makes Phil Housley.
Okay, yeah.
It's like, yeah, is he that good, or is he just, or would he be a third line winger? But because he's a defenseman, he plays better.
No, Erik Karlsson, like his vision on the ice. Sure, the rest of the guys on that power play bring him down a little bit, but like you put him out there, and you see the plays that he makes and the way that he sees the game compared to everyone else.
Probably right. I just want to throw a little hesitation there. If he was that good, I feel like they'd at least, like, there are guys that are that good on the power play that it doesn't matter who you put out there with them. You're going to score points. Ovechkin, you don't need to put anyone else out there with him. He's going to score a goal.
No, you need someone to give him the puck. Ovechkin himself will. Like his one timer slot on the left side there, you need someone to get him that puck.
He's not himself. It can be anybody though. That's the thing. It doesn't have to be someone fancy and special. You don't need Nick Backstrom doing it. It's nice that you have Nick Backstrom doing it, but you don't need him. Look at Crosby. They put two guys. Chris Kunitz has like made a career off of scoring goals and assists beside Crosby. Yes. Not because Chris Kunitz is good. Because Crosby is amazing. It's the same thing. Like, we're not talking today, we probably could talk today about how bad that Lucic contract is. But you want to know why it doesn't feel bad? It's because he's got Connor McDavid playing with him. Like, that's the thing. Erik Karlsson, he's in the same situation as all these elite all-star players, and he's not getting it done.
I don't know. I watched him get it done a whole heck of a lot in that Rangers series. So.
Yeah, well, anybody can score against the Rangers. The Rangers are terrible.
So you're saying that you come up against, in four games, which you've probably watched one?
No, I've watched chunks of all of them.
Okay. I just, like, Erik Karlsson has had a fantastic playoff. And sure, last night, power play didn't look that good.
Well, but I believe the last seven games have not looked that good.
But he has been that team.
He has, what, 1 point in this series?
Yeah. The rest of the playoffs, he has had a lot more points than that.
Sure, but 1 point in the... This is when good players rise to the occasion.
Good players who've been playing with a broken heel for the entire playoffs. Sure, at some point, I'm okay. I understand if he suddenly drops off a scotch.
What's a scotch?
Just a touch.
A touch. Okay, yeah. That's like a... Okay, fair enough. I don't know. I think the biggest thing here is that Carl will never say anything bad about a Carl.
I love me some PK. I love me some Erik Karlsson. Carl Hagelund, big fan of him. Carl Gunnarsson. He's okay in my books.
What's that? Don't you have a Carl on the Leafs? The Avs.
Yeah, we've got Erik Karlsson. No, that's, we already said him. But how about a different Swedish Carl? Carl Soderberg. He's on the Avs. Yeah. He's terrible, though. I will say something bad about him.
John Karlsson?
Oh, yeah. Carl Olsner? I've defended Carl Olsner on this show. Probably wrong about that. He's got the Carl bump.
Carl Olsner is going to sign a contract that team is going to hate for a very long time.
And get ready for me to defend it. Because I'm going to. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Is there any... Are you...
I'm just very in-depth. I'm now looking up a lot of Erik Karlsson stats.
Yeah. Okay. While you do that, I want to ask you a question on a scale of, I don't know, who was a pretty tame coach that just kind of like never had any fire behind them?
Would you say Alain Vigneault?
Sure.
He's not super fiery.
Okay, so on a scale of Alain Vigneault to John Tortorella, which is immune, like that comparison's amazing. That's great. So I'm glad you went there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that I know where this is going.
How upset are you about the way the refs and linesmen have patrolled or controlled these playoffs?
I am probably Barry Trotz.
Yeah, see, I'm a Mike Keenan on that
really?
Scale. Yeah, it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing.
What is your biggest beef?
It's just, they don't, like, I just don't know when they're going to call something. Like, so the Penguins had too many men on the ice a couple of times last night. They waited until the Penguins set up with six guys to actually call it. It's like, yeah, that's a penalty. But, like, you could have called it 5 minutes ago when they were too many men on the ice then, too. And it's just, you watch Bobby Ryan charge a guy and drill him into the boards. And, like, the ref is right there watching it. And I'm like, I'm not sure. Like, how is that not a penalty? Like, which camp are you in? Do you like how the rule book is tossed out for the playoffs, or do you want consistency from game one to game seven of the Stanley Cup finals?
I used to like it, and now I'm torn. I used to be very okay with it. I used to understand why that happened. And now we're seeing a lot of things that are not black and white rules. There's, you know, there's gray area in a lot of the rules in hockey, right? Cross-checking. You say, was that a penalty? I don't know. Tripping. A lot of gray area there, right?
Yeah, there's a cross-check every 2 seconds in the playoffs right now.
You're not calling any of them. But then you get into too many men. That's a guaranteed penalty, right? It's not like, well, it's the playoffs. You're allowed to play with six men. Apparently, like last night, you could. Most of the time, though, that's black and white. You're off. Delay a game, puck over glass. That's an automatic penalty. High sticking to the face. Get your stick up on a guy. That's an automatic penalty in the playoffs still.
Yeah. Watch. I forget. I think it was the Nashville Anaheim game where like guys are slashing each other left, right, and center. And then I think it was Perry who just kind of like forcefully brought his stick down on top of Ellis's stick and it snapped. And that's the one that they call. I'm like, really? That's not the one where the guy just got two-handed in the rib cage. That, you're not going to call that, but you'll call the one where like, it's so confusing. It's like basically, this is what I feel like the refs have said. We're only going to call a penalty if it's like 150% clear that it's a penalty. And it's only those ones where it's high sticking, delay a game, too many men.
Yeah.
I was amazed. There was a penalty last night where the guy was on the edge of the crease. I think it was Crosby. I think Crosby was standing there. Didn't touch the goalie. Nothing. The whistle blows and refs are right into the players as soon as the whistle blows. So the whistle blows. Crosby doesn't do anything. He doesn't touch anyone. And whoever on the Sens just grabs his head, headlocks him and just starts drilling him. And like, I was amazed that they actually called a penalty on that.
With a concussion, like right now, you can't do that.
Fair that there, but I was what they're letting go. Like I was actually kind of surprised that like it was that was a penalty. And it's just so confusing. It's got to be incredibly frustrating for players that just don't know how to act. 'Cause they're like, well, what should I do? Like, what should I not do? I don't know. And then you get penalties, like you get penalties called just at the worst time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's a frustrating experience. Like, I'm sure players are not, are frustrated. It's frustrating as a fan to you watching it. You're just like, well, what is, like, are penalties a thing? Like, I don't know. Like, you can't explain it. Like, if you were trying to explain this to someone who had never watched hockey before and they're watching the playoffs and they're like, oh man, like, you're allowed to do that. Well, no, in the regular season, if you did that, you would get called for a penalty. Oh, so there's no rules in the playoffs. Well, there are rules in the playoffs, but they don't really follow them.
The more that I think about this whole thing, I try to look at, because, you know, you do use that example, right, of someone fresh to hockey. And people typically have an understanding from a sport. In football, in basketball, in baseball, maybe a little bit in basketball, it changes, but like, you're not going to have in the Super Bowl, someone lays a dirty hit and you're like, well, it's the Super Bowl. You got to let it go.
Yeah.
Like that's getting called, right? So if someone boxes in the World Series, they're not going to be like, well, it's the World Series. Got to let that go.
Yeah. I think baseball is definitely the one that there's no real, cause like that's the only thing that you could talk about is like the strike zone, but usually that's a game to game thing. And like, and this is the thing, I'm not asking for one way or another. I'm asking for consistency. Maybe we need to loosen what we call in the regular season, but tighten what we call in the playoffs so that we're getting a little bit more of a consistent game. And the other thing is like you have just, it doesn't feel consistent game to game either. It's not like refs are saying, okay, we're going to be tight this game. It's like, no, like they'll just call penalties. But then, and then refs put themselves into these corners where a guy, bad bounce, flicks the puck over the glass. And you're just like, well, I don't really want to call that, but I have to. It's like, it's just, you get put in this box that like, it's almost like refs only want to call penalties where they know that they're not going to get any backlash about.
Well, and that's what I hate the most about all of the play, and it's not just playoff hockey, regular season hockey, is the makeup call. We're like, I made an iffy call that I made on this one team, so now it's an iffy call on another team. I'm just gonna go with it. Just decide and stick to your decision instead of, well, I called them a penalty, so now I gotta call them. No, if one team is taking all the penalties, just let them. But stick to your decision. It's from that side, it's like, well, I called this team a bad strike. I'm going to give the other team a bad strike. That makes you a terrible official.
Yeah, it's been bad. So I hope that this changes, but it never will. So
you would be in favor of a looser, more playoff like regular season rule book? Or do you want a tighter playoff rulebook?
I would say both. Like, not go one or the other, but come a little bit to the middle on each side.
Okay.
So maybe a little bit looser in the regular season, but a little bit tighter in the playoffs.
Right.
So that we're, so as opposed to just going to one extreme. Cause is that not it? Like, I feel like you can go, like, regular season games frequently. Oh, I hit my mic again.
Wow, you're having a rough go.
I'm just, hands are flailing all over the place.
Talker. People don't see that when they're just listening. Joel's a hand talker here.
I'm a hand talker. Consistently you'll have 10 penalties in a game, right? I feel like that's a thing. I don't know. I'd have to go check. But I feel like there's lots of penalties per game in the NHL. I feel like there's, like, what, 3 or 4 in the playoffs at most?
Yeah. And, like, in overtime, none. It has to be blatant.
It has to be delay a game or high sticking with blood or...
Like, just like someone has a breakaway and you two-hand them in the ankle.
Yeah. That's... So...
Yeah, I'm with you. It does need... I'm not as fired up about it because there's nothing I can do. And I pick my battles. Speaking of picking my battles, Erik Karlsson... 5-on-5 has been on the ice for 15 goals for, 7 goals against. It is the highest goal for percentage on the Ottawa Senators.
There you go.
His relative Corsi numbers are just ridiculous. There is no chance that he is not the best player on that team.
That was not the argument, but okay.
It was like when you look at the numbers, it's quite clear that the rest of that team drags him down.
Yeah. That's fair. I'm not saying he's not a bad player. I'm saying he's just not as good as everyone thinks he is.
I think he's just as good as everyone thinks he is.
I think he's not. I don't know. He's just not. I just don't think he's that good. And you know what? I don't really want to talk about it
anymore. All right. I guess that's done.
So here's a question. I'm full of questions for you today.
Yeah, your question time with Joel. It's a new segment on the show.
Did you happen to catch any NBA action last night?
No, I did not watch the LeBron show. Was it even? Was it just LeBron, or like did the entire Cavs team just go off?
It was the entire. They scored 130 points. Like it was.
Yeah.
It was a shellacking. Is that the official term that we use?
I think so. I would also approve of the term schlobberknocker.
Schlobberknocker?
Yeah.
So 130 to 86.
Yeah.
Here's some of the stats. So it was I believe it was a 41 point lead at halftime, biggest ever in like a playoff game.
In any NBA game ever.
Playoff game.
Okay.
Playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
LeBron was plus 46, I think.
Plus minus doesn't matter, Joel.
The biggest plus minus of his career in not just playoffs, any game.
Any game ever. Wow. At half or like that was?
No, that was that was his total.
That's impressive.
What? So like this is like the blowout of all blowouts. Okay. Here's the, you want to know? I didn't watch this game. I just kind of like, I was following on Twitter. LeBroni, as I like to call him sometimes, 30 points. That's all he had.
Really?
Yeah. I don't even know if he had a double-double.
You haven't gotten to your question yet, but I already have a question for you. It might be the same question.
What would be the equivalent of a blowout like this in the NHL? Like, you're looking like an 8-0?
I was going to say, there was that 7-0 game earlier this playoffs. That one was pretty bad. The Ducks over the Oilers.
I don't know. But, like, so, like, put this into perspective, though. This is an 8-0 game. Like, Pens versus Caps. Like, that's...
Because the Celtics are technically the one seed, are they not?
They are. So they were technically higher than the Cavs.
Not even so they did finish higher, but they're just not better.
Right. So they're higher, but they're technically not better. Like the Cavs in the NBA, like I don't think they care about seeding as much.
No, it doesn't matter. And this is, so I think that's a fair comparison. One thing that I was thinking of, as you were talking is I think like the NHL and the NBA have gone two very different routes with their league system. So the NBA has said like screw all parity at all. And right now it's literally just two teams. The playoffs start and it would take a sizable injury, run of bad luck, something, hotness for the Cavs and the Warriors to not meet in the finals.
Yeah, I don't think it's like at this point, it's like you'd have to have like multiple guys injured on both teams.
And like at the start of the playoffs, you knew that this was the case, right? Like you would need like Durant and Curry and LeBron and Love.
Kyrie.
Yeah.
No, like, Kyrie. Any NBA fan is just like super sad that you included Love in that conversation. I'm sorry, Tiny. Don't listen to Carl.
So. But then, like, on the NHL side, the parity across the board is so huge that, like, legitimately, how many people picked the Blackhawks to make it to the finals? Both of us did, and they got swept in the first round. Which, like, if either the Cavs or the Warriors had got swept in the first round of the playoffs, people would have lost their minds. Like, that there was zero chance that that would happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, there's the NBA is so different in that you're able to have two or three really, really, really good players and it doesn't matter. Like, if the NHL had the same system as the NBA, like the Pens, like Crosby, Kessel, Malkin, boom. Like, that's your big three. You win every game. That's basically how it goes, right? But because it doesn't go that way and you can't just play those three guys for 75% of the game, you need, like, that's why there's parities, because of just how the game's played, how guys get tired, how you have to actually have 20 guys.
Well, and the difference in the way that the cap works is they both have a cap, but like one of them's soft, one of them's hard. Which do you prefer? Like, do you, as a non-NBA fan, I have not cared in the slightest about the playoffs. Like, the Raptors, who are technically my team, played the Cavs. I didn't bother paying attention the slightest because I just knew that they were going to lose. Do you prefer, like, two superstar teams that you know are going to make it to the final, and essentially you're just waiting for 2 months to get to that final, or this NHL parity where you can have the Senators pushing the Penguins to the brink of elimination? You can have the Predators, who made the playoffs by 1 point, riding Pekka Rinne to domination through two rounds.
Basically, anyone that's not a fan of Cleveland and Golden State would rather the NHL, because then everyone's got a shot. Like, the Cavs and the Warriors, neither of them have lost a game this playoffs yet, and they're in, like, this is their third round each.
And if that was the NHL, that would be all anyone was talking about.
Yeah, they'd just be like, this is amazing. Because remember when we were talking about the Preds and we're like, are they going to lose, like, at the beginning of that Blues series? Like, are they going to lose any games? How good are they? This is amazing. And then when they lost two games, we were still talking about how great they were.
Yeah.
So it's just, the NBA is just bizarre. And, like, their cap system, because, like, this is the funny thing. Their cap, higher than the NHL's, less players. Those guys get paid a ton.
Yeah. Well, they're making, like, especially with whatever their new changes were this year. Yeah. They got, like, a new TV deal, and just everyone was making stupid money this offseason.
Yeah. So, and it's just,
it is a very different game, because you have what? You start 12 guys? Is that how many you start in the NBA? Or, like, you dress 12, I should say.
Yeah.
12 on 12 basketball would be hilarious and also terrible. Dressing 12, it certainly cuts down on the amount of guys you need to be stars.
Yeah.
Which, like, if you were to have a 12 team NHL, or like a 12 person NHL, those rosters would be jam packed with stars.
Yeah, it would be the equivalent. Yeah, you look, welcome to the All-Star game, the 3-on-3 thing. Cause that's what it'd be. If you only have 12 guys, you're not going to have 5-man lines. You're going to play 3-on-3 or 4-on-4. And so then, yeah, it's interesting. There's so much domination, but I was wondering, like, it'd be like, if, like, the Pens had won like one of the games versus the Caps 8-0. I think that would have been the equivalent of that was almost like, what, 44 point.
And but like, but somehow Crosby only had like 2 points. Like, yeah, that's essentially the comparison of the Caps went up 130 and LeBron only having 30 of those. It's like, yeah, Crosby kind of played, and they just, like, he only played 15 minutes or like 10 minutes. He just kind of, like, sat, because I assume they rested the Brony.
Yeah, he played well. Like, he was good, though. Like, he had a good game. Like, he's, like, and this, well, that's the other thing. People are saying, like, people are talking like this is the best he's ever been. And so, like, there's that kind of conversation going on. But it's just, Oh man, I don't know. I don't know what I would do. Like, it got sad after 4-0 the other night.
Yeah, everyone's like, "All right, I'm turning this game off."
Yeah, just think like what it would be like at like the second intermission, and you're down by 40. Like, so like you're down by like 8 going into the third period. Just how depressing would that be in the playoffs?
Yeah, that would not be fun.
So, anyways.
Well, Joel, this has been what the next week very well could be the last that we talk about two of these teams. Because, you know, the finals start on the 29th. So next week we'll probably be previewing the finals.
You should be done these series, should we not?
It should be, what, 21, 20, 23? Yeah, 25th, I believe, is going to be the last chance for these. So we will be. These series will be done. Thursday they end.
There you go. So Saturday will give you, oh no, it won't have started then. So we'll do a cup preview.
Yeah, we'll have a cup preview next week. We also have, do we want to mention some of the new things we have going on with the show coming up into the future?
We can.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Do you want to keep it elusive?
Or why don't we wait till we see what it's actually going to be?
Okay. We've got new stuff coming.
We don't fully know.
We've got some new stuff coming, which will be fun. And if it falls apart, then we won't have something. But it's not going to fall apart. We've got some fun new stuff coming, which should make for a lot of fun in the summer, which is going to be probably the busiest NHL summer, especially the start with the expansion draft, the entry draft, free agency, and the new stuff that we have coming for you. So make sure to tune in, see what we've got next week. Cup preview, cup finals preview, high sticking. Right now, do you know who's winning?
No.
Me either, but I'm going to pull it up just to double check. Nick Henderson, friend from Last Word on Sports, Mr. Nick Henderson, he's winning, and it is a log jam behind him. So
we just put out our Patreon episode, our Patron episode.
Yeah, Patron.
That came up.
That was a lot of fun, actually. It went way longer than either of us planned on it doing.
Yeah.
And so head on over there if you'd like a lot of talk about street meat and old goaltenders.
Old goaltenders, yeah.
Yeah, so. Or one old goaltender. We've got lots of great stuff on the website. We put out the latest part of our expansion draft series came out yesterday, where we looked at who would be protected, unprotected for the Oilers, Blues, Capitals, and Rangers, all the four teams left. So we've only got the last four. The four still playing. We're going to be picking those probably to come out next weekend in between the finals and the conference finals. So
like it. I like it.
Lots of great stuff over there. You can head to Twitter, play high sticking, tune in, tweet at us during the games, tweet with us at Fourth Line Podcast, facebook.com/TheFourthLinePodcast, and TheFourthLinePodcast.com for all of the great writing. And if you want to find our iTunes link, it's over there. Everything is there. You can also find us at Last Word on Sports and Nuts and Bolts Sports. And Joel, like the back of my shirt says right now,
Boom City.